Welcome to Advanced Biblical Foundations. This is session number 8 in our physical healing series. If you've not been following with us, I encourage you to go back, look at these. I really encourage you to go through these a number of times, look up the scripture. There is so much here. Now, what I want to do in this session, I want to just talk about some of the problem areas. I really believe that Jesus came to set us free. He didn't just come to give us a ticket to heaven, but he came to heal and to deliver and to help us to be free. Not problem free, but he helped us to get free enough so we can continue to grow into his image. But at the same time, we live in a world with sin, sickness, and death, and we still have to deal with those issues. And so we've got to believe by faith, and we've got to go forward through the Word of God. Now, I want to just talk about some of the issues, and I may be a little random here, but number one, because we always have these that come up. Does sin cause sickness? Well, it certainly can. Obviously, it opens a door to the enemy. But God is not the cause of sickness. And people say, well, does God cause you sick? No, he does not give sickness. There's no sickness in heaven, and God doesn't give sickness. Now, I'm not going to read it, but John chapter 9 is a story about the man born blind. And Jesus heals him, and then they want to know, did he sin or did his parents sin? And he said, no, for the glory of God to be revealed. So, because they had a worldview that sin caused sickness. Sin caused all kinds of problems. Well, I can assure you, sin causes all kinds of problems. That is not the issue. But the issue is that all sickness is not caused because of our sin. It is caused by sin, but it's because we live in a world of sin and sickness where it's come from, the root of it all. But it doesn't mean that my personal sin has caused me to be sick. It doesn't mean that your personal sin has caused you to be sick. But it is an issue that we've got to address because we don't live in the Old Testament. God is not putting diseases on us when we disobey. We live in the New Testament on the other side of the cross where Jesus took our sin and he paid for that sin. And it says in Hebrews that he went into the Holy of Holies with his own, he is our high priest by the order of Melchizedek, and he went in with his blood. He died once for sin forever. So he is not putting sickness on us because of sin. That's one of the major issues because people will say, well, you know, you've got some sin in your life. Well, I can assure you we probably have some sin in our life, but God is not putting sickness on us. He is not the author of sickness. And we always say you give away what you have, but you can't give away what you don't have. There's no sickness in heaven. There is nothing there. He is not that. Now, second thing, you do realize that there are generational connections. We are connected to our family lines, whether you like it or not. When you go to the doctor, do they not ask you, tell me about your history of your family? And they want to know why, because they recognize that a lot of sickness and disease are passed down through the bloodlines. So what is that? What's a curse? Those are blessings to 1,000 generations, but there's also curses that we inherit. Let's say it this way. We're prone and to be shaped in certain areas. We look like, we act like, we pick up things from our family. It's just the way it is. Well, we pick up physical traits also, and there's a lot of things. So what do we do with that? Well, we cancel by the blood of Jesus any generational bloodline access point that sickness and disease has. But again, sometimes those things have a long history and they have really a strong hold on us. But you do need to be aware of that. Another thing is the way we handle things. For example, fear, stress, worry, anxiety. Do I need to go on? Do you realize how much we live in? A lot of times we don't realize how much fear and stress that we live in, and the worry and anxiety, worry about everything. And what happens is it really, that's reported, I don't know, have any verification on this, but as much as 75 to 80% of all sickness and disease is basically somehow related to fear, stress, worry, anxiety. Wow, that's a lot. And I don't think we realize how much that we have in us. Now, when you have fear, stress, anxiety, worry, whatever term you want to use there, the bottom line is, it says you've not been made perfect in love, because perfect love, 1 John chapter 4, casts out fear. So instead of worrying about fear, is what we end up trying to do. We fight fear. Well, you need to realize you need a revelation of the love of the Father. But this is a major issue. I don't think we realize the level of fear and anxiety that we live in. Worried about this, worried about that, worried about all these things. And it's amazing what that does to our physical body. We are not designed to live in that fear and that anxiousness and that worry. And again, I would say, well, I don't really have a lot of fear. I'm just concerned. I'm concerned about this, concerned about that. All I'm saying is you need to ask the Lord to show you how much fear you're really dealing with. You may be living in a level of fear that you don't have any idea. So again, don't fight fear. Recognize that you need is the greater revelation of the love of the Father. Because when you have a revelation, when you know for sure that He loves you, that He has called you for a time such as this, the fear is displaced. They cannot cohabitate. Fear and love, you cannot. So if you've got a lot of fear, you've got less love. If you've got more love, you've got less fear. So it's just focus on the love of the Father, because He loves you. He has demonstrated His love. Now again, His love is not a feeling. His love is an action. He went to the cross and died for you and for me. And so His love is perfect. Battle the fear issue is in your mind, because the enemy is trying to get you. Remember, Colossians 1 says, if you have been raised with Christ, set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated. Now, why this is important is because you control your mind. Don't let somebody else control your mind, then certainly don't let worry or stress or anxiety control your mind. Because Romans 8:6 says the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. The mind set on the flesh is death. So the enemy is trying to get your attention. He's out there doing all kinds of stuff, causing problems to try to get you to get your mind off of the Lord Jesus Christ, off His word, off His promises, off His goodness, off His majesty, and get your eyes focused on the problems. If he can do that, it's going to ultimately produce stress and fear, and it's going to produce death. So that's real simple. The mind, battle in the mind. So you are responsible for your thought life. And so you've got to be careful. So start asking the Lord to show you. Lord, show me when I start moving into fear and it's anxiety and it's not, and I need a revelation of your love. Okay? Because God wants to release His love to you. Okay, now another area that's the problem area that can really cause us lots of problems is the whole issue of anger and unforgiveness. Ephesians 4 says, be angry, but don't sin, and give no place to the devil. Well, how do you do that? Well, you have to choose to forgive. And why this is such an important issue is because John 13, 34, 35 says that Jesus said, a new command I give to you is that you would love one another as I've loved you. And by your love for one another, all would know that you're my disciples. So Jesus is, his whole command to us is that we would love one another. And he basically says that. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. But then he tells us, this is his commandment, love one another. So he's called us to love. And the Bible is very clear in 1 John that I can't say I hate my brother and I love God. It just doesn't work that way. What he's saying is that God has loved us and he wants us to love him. But he also wants us to love one another. because truthfully, the litmus test of my love for Father is my love for one another. So how does that work? Well, how it works is I have to forgive. So forgiveness is love in action. It's not just words. It is the choosing to love. And, you know, I tell this all the time about forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is not, I feel like forgiving. No, you feel like killing them. But forgiveness is powerful because you're choosing to love. And love, we're told, never fails. So choosing to love and choosing to forgive are really synonymous with Jesus doing the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Well, they were crucifying him. I mean, wow. But he forgave. And so you've got the power of forgiveness is the power of freedom. It frees you. Choosing to forgive. Again, it's not a feeling. You choose in obedience to the Word of God to forgive. And you know, well, you don't understand what they've done to me. Well, I do understand that, and I know it's very difficult. But a lot of our sicknesses, I'm telling you, is because we've basically holding on to anger and unforgiveness. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. This is also in Luke passage also, but this is in chapter 5, verse 43. You've heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Now, I'm not saying that all sickness is because we're angry, but I'm telling you some sickness is. And what I just got through talking about fear. Well, fear and anger and all of this unforgiveness and broken relationships, I'm telling you, it causes our bodies to be susceptible to all kinds of diseases. And I'm not saying we're going to be healed because we do everything according to the Word of God, but I do know these are very, 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 very important issues and areas that we have to deal with. You cannot continue to live in anger and unforgiveness. It will kill you. Now, is God doing something to you? No, you do it to yourself. But I'm going to tell you, when you choose to love, you choose to forgive, you choose to bless, you choose to pray for people. And I've had people tell me, they just said, you don't understand what they've done to me. And I'll say, you're right, I don't. But I know this, there is grace available to forgive, but you have to choose to forgive. It's not a feeling. If you're waiting for a feeling or if you're waiting for something to happen, it's never going to happen. What Jesus did, he forgave us and he released us completely from any expectation that we were supposed to do something to make it right with him. So you have to do the same thing. You have to forgive and then you have to release that person or persons or whatever institution that may have caused you a problem. I didn't say it's easy, but I can tell you the benefits are amazing. Another issue that we need to deal with, again, is the faith issue. What about faith? Well, clearly, there has to be some faith. And it's referred to in Scripture. But don't ever accuse somebody of not having faith. Because the person healed many times didn't have any faith at all. There was the paralytic. There were people that were completely, they didn't have any faith. But somebody had faith. So don't ever accuse somebody of not believing. The reality is that, yeah, there has to be some faith somewhere. Centurions praying for his servant. Servant had nothing to do with it. He had faith. So, but we do need to have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. If that's true, which it says in Hebrews 11, then it's probably pretty impossible to please God without faith. So we need to have faith. Faith in God, not faith in an outcome. We have faith in God. And I'm going to be just like that man with his son. He said, I believe. And then he said, Lord, help my unbelief. And that's exactly where most of us are. Lord, I do believe, but help my unbelief. Okay, another issue that we've not really talked about, but I need to talk about it, is just our lifestyle. I'm telling you, we're being pickled. We've got more chemicals. We've got more things in our food processing. We eat terrible. And a lot of those things, then we're wanting to be healed. I eat bad things I shouldn't put in my body. And again, it says everything is sanctified by the giving of thanks. But I'm not talking about being crazy on this. But you do realize that our lifestyle, the way we live and eat and all the things that we put into us, you can't imagine the chemicals. Now, I don't have scientific verification. I've been told this. But I've been told that when someone dies in a lot of these third world nations, they begin to decompose in 5 to 6 hours. And in America, it's as much as 18 hours. Why? It's because we're pickled. We've got so many chemicals in us, so many preservatives in us, and we know this. But again, it's not for us to go crazy. Again, you don't be motivated by fear. We've got to be motivated by faith, but we do need to learn how to eat properly. And again, this is not about food. There's many books out there you can read. We obviously do believe that God heals and that He uses doctors and medicine. It says that all good things come from above. And again, let me put this in there too. We already talked about it once. If it's God's will to heal, is it God's will to heal? We'll pray. Well, if it be your will, Lord, well, if it's not God's will to heal, quit going to the doctors. Quit taking medicine. I mean, really. I mean, of course it's God's will to heal. He's a good father. I mean, remember Luke chapter 11, verse 9 through 13, it says that you're evil and you know how to give good gifts to your own children. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? But his point is, listen, no father or mother wants their kids sick. The moment somebody gets sick, we immediately start trying to get help. I mean, he says you're evil, and you know how to give good gifts to your children. So, hey, doctors are good, medicine's good, but at the same time, God is our healer. We don't trust in doctors, we don't trust in medicine, but we don't reject it either, because all good things come from above. It's amazing what they can do. There's so many things. But again, we've got to be careful. Be careful being hooked on and addicted to drugs. A lot of the things that are meant for good can turn into evil, open the door. So all I'm saying is that, hey, I think God wants us to be healed. I think He loves us. He uses all kinds of means to heal us. But He is the healer. There is no other person to heal us. He is the one that heals us completely, and we need to trust in Him. So people will say, what about Paul's thorn in the flesh? Okay, well, we don't know for sure there was a sickness. It was certainly, I've heard all kinds of sermons, I've heard all kinds of issues on that. You know, let's don't look to the few little exceptions. And then people say, well, what about Job? Okay, I don't know about Job. I don't live in the Old Testament. I live in the New Testament. I live in the grace of God, in the mercy of God that has been displayed through the cross. I live on this side of the cross. So all I know is this. I've gone through a lot of scripture. We've gone through a lot of different issues. And why do I want to pick on a few negative things and things that we don't know and then try to say, well, I'm not sure God heals? No. My Father is a healer. He reveals Himself as a healer. He loves me, and if I don't want my children sick, He says, I'm evil, and He is not. I don't believe He wants us sick either. So I want to pray that God heals us. Okay? Father, we love You and bless You. We thank You that You're a good Father. You're a perfect Father. And Lord, with all the issues, there are lots of things going on in our lives. We thank You that, Lord, You're above it all. There is nothing that's not under Your feet. And I pray, Lord, that You would help us to recognize to how great You are. I'm asking, Lord, to release healing right now. I'm asking, Lord, for people to get absolutely, completely healed. I'm asking for gifts of healing and working of miracles to be released. I'm asking, Lord, that we would look to You. I pray that fear would be broken. I pray that anger would be canceled. I pray, Lord, that unforgiveness is, we would just choose to love and forgive. I'm asking, Lord, You'd help us to if we've got lifestyles that are contrary to you, I pray, Lord, that things would be broken. I pray that curses, that are generational bloodline, will be canceled in Jesus' name, and we would be set free completely from that door would be shut in the name of Jesus. Lord, we are so grateful, we're so thankful, and we love you, and we bless you, and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I go, let me just mention to you that I've got a series on Free Indeed. And there's a lot of things that we just touched on that really I want to encourage you to go to our website, the Advanced Biblical Foundations, and get our Free Indeed and go through it. It will help you walk through a lot of these issues that we just talked about. So I hope that'll be a blessing to you. God bless you, and thank you for watching.